Hosanna in the highest. Toward the close of Jesus' ministry, he came to Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, the same Lazarus whom he had awakened from the sleep of death. Mary chose this opportunity to anoint the Master's feet with precious ointment, which he declared was an anointing for his burial. The next day he sent for an ass and rode thereon into Jerusalem after the manner of Israel's king. When Jesus came in sight of Jerusalem, he wept over the city, exclaiming, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children, as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Now I say unto you, your house is left unto you desolate. Ye shall see me no more until that day of Messiah's glory, when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Meantime, the kingdom is not abandoned, merely delayed. Messiah's bride will be only partly Jewish. Israel hath not obtained the coveted chief favor, but the elect obtained it. The multitude caught the spirit of the occasion, that Jesus was the promised king, and hailed him as Messiah. They scattered clothing and palm branches before him, implying that the best of earth was not too good for one so great. Meantime they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, the long-promised Messiah of David's line. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Jehovah. The Pharisees, who did not believe, thought the procedure sacrilegious, and told Jesus to stop the shouting. Jesus replied that the prophet Zechariah said, Shout, and therefore there must be a shout. If they should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. God had declared it. There must be a shout. The prophecy must be fulfilled. Cleansing the temple of money changers and merchants followed our Lord's triumphal entry into the city. The cost of the kingdom. The Bible surely tells us that the way to the kingdom is difficult and narrow, that the cost of being disciples of Jesus is self-denial and cross-bearing. Many wonder that the promises are thus restricted, and not to all who strive to do right without faith or self-sacrifice. The parable of a camel creeping through the needle's eye illustrated how the rich must unload their wealth if they would prepare to share the kingdom. The little gate in the larger one was called a needle's eye. Bible students now explain that difficulties are attached to the gaining of the kingdom because God desires a very choice little company for that glorious position. He has made the trial so severe that only the saintly will avail themselves of the opportunity to gain the kingdom. The young ruler asked Jesus, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus referred him to the law, which promised eternal life to any Jew who would keep it. The young man replied that he had done his best, but still was dying. Jesus loved him for his good endeavors and pointed him to a new way to life everlasting by self-sacrifice as his disciple. Additionally, he might become a joint heir with Jesus in glory, honor, and immortality. Two dear disciples asked to sit next to Jesus on the throne of his kingdom. The master replied, Are you able, willing, to drink of my cup of self-denial, self-sacrifice, ignominy, and shame? Are you able to be baptized into my death, to self-will, to cutting off from every earthly privilege, if such be God's providence for you? Those loving disciples answered that they were ready for anything with the master's help. He assured them and us that he will furnish trials and assistances, and that if faithful to the end, we shall have a crown of life. But the honors and glories of the kingdom will not be determined by grace, but by justice.